want you, need you, yeah, I need you to fill me up. 마시고 마셔봐도 상해 잡지 않아. Got a feeling that all, yeah, yeah. You could be everything that, that I need. Taste so sweet, yeah. Every sip makes me want more, yeah.
Lick a link stand, cause you got it like that. Woo. Take a big bite, want another bite, yeah. 너의 모든 걸 나 원해, 원해, 원해. 너 말고 모두 번해, 번해, 번해.
When you're in my arms, I hold you so tight, so tight. Can't let go, no, no, not tonight.
지금 당장 나갈 시간 없잖아. 넌 내 거야, 이미 알고 있잖아.
I had to let the beat drop. 9:06, and it is August 27th, and what the hell? This thing keeps playing. It is, you gonna keep going, fucking thing? It is, what the hell? August 27th, got me all fucked up here. K-pop demon stars, whatever they are. My kids love them. We got Ty in studio. We've got Snake. Where's the Snake? You here?
I'm here.
Good to hear you. Boys, how are we doing? We've got a roster.
Is Ty actually in studio?
No. But he's in the audio studio. And
it's a little movie magic.
Classy people like me do tend to have recessed lighting. And as you can see behind me, it's fucking up my whole cinematography. But that's okay. You guys, I mean, honestly, like, you don't want to look at my bald face anyway. Yeah, we don't want to put Vince. Vince is on location. So today we're going to have him with a less handsome Tom Brady photo in the number three spot. But KP is in somewhere in Africa for real doing something. They need chocolate milk. So he's been delivering chocolate milk all week. And he probably doesn't even know anything about the team. He likes to say he does. He does not. But we're down to our final 53, it seems. We've cut pretty much, I don't know. I mean, I'm fuming a little bit about how they handled it. It was a little bit sophomoric. I don't want to say sophomoric might be the wrong word. It looked like very beginner, like learner's permit, fucking NFL front office, if you get my drift. They screwed it up mightily, is what I think happened. Your takes, Tyler.
Weird. Like, why? So what, Bourne was pissed about his playing time. Baker's pissed about his playing time. So they must be both behind Chisholm on the depth chart. Like, what the
I don't think it had anything to do with that, if we're going to be honest. I think, so here's the thing, is I think they were going to trade Bourne, keep Baker on the team. I think that was the plan the whole time. And whatever happened, like, they decided they were they couldn't trade Bourne. So they kept him on the roster too late. I think they didn't get a chance to cut him, like, or trade him before the deadline, so they kept him. So they kept eight receivers, which is two more than usual, right? So you kept Kendrick Bourne because you couldn't trade him. They were going to trade him to the Vikings. Instead, the Vikings traded for Adam Thielen, who is older and, you know, I don't know. He means more to Minnesota, but he's still got a fourth and a fifth round pick, right? So you get a fourth and a fifth round pick out of Adam Thielen, who you don't even want in Carolina. And Kendrick Bourne takes up a spot who could have been for, like, Bradley Swinson or whatever, a guy you cut your fifth round pick this year because you're keeping eight receivers. And Kendrick Bourne stays on the team a day extra for no reason. You cut him, take a dead cap hit, you know, okay, you gain $3 million in cap space on top of your billion you have. And then, you know, furthermore, you didn't get anything for him. He's going to sign with someone else. And again, you could have had his spot. And then basically you do the exact same thing with Baker. Like, I don't know if you were trying to trade Baker or what they were going to do. But the minute they claim two guys, they cut him. So, I mean, you're going to lose Baker. There's just no chance that you're going to be able to keep him, because if you wanted to keep him, you would have cut him yesterday. And he would have had a, you know, he would have got lost in the mix of the 500 guys that got cut. Now everyone's going to see a fourth round, second year receiver on the waiver wire tomorrow. And they're going to be like, oh, yeah, everyone needs receiver help. No one, you know, everyone had a high grade on, or most teams had a high grade on Javon Baker, you know, his playing ability coming out of college. And he's only 1 year removed from that on a rookie deal. So anybody that has any room to absorb his cost and, you know, needs a receiver is going to try and take Baker on. So they fucked both of those up. And I don't know if that's inexperience or what, because these guys, I don't think they were in charge in Tennessee, but they fucked that up mightily. I mean, Elliott Wolf probably didn't do himself any favors. It's clear as day they're just like getting rid of anybody Belichick related and Gerard Mayo related. Like, there's no way Cole Strange isn't better than Ben Brown, right? There's no way that he's not better than Caden Wallace. And both of those guys make the team, and Cole Strange didn't even get to the back to the practice squad. Your first round pick 3 years ago. You know, trying to trade Duggar, trying to trade Jennings. I get it. It's like a new system and everybody's there, but like some of these guys are better than the guys you're keeping here. You know what I mean? I mean, Anthony Jennings is the best pass defender you have. I mean, edge defender you have. I don't know. Tell me I'm wrong, boys.
So you think it's like, I don't really see them having attitude, like, maybe, like, hey, I'm the star, like, blah, blah, blah. And Rabel's basically just saying, like, no one deserves anything. I mean, it's kind of what Belichick did when he came in 30 years ago or whatever. So
yes.
Is this just what coaches do? Is just a complete reset on the roster? And they're just like, hey, like, I just want my guys. Like, I'd rather my guy who's slightly less whatever, like, it, maybe not as talented, but I can trust. I don't really get it, to be honest.
I don't know. I mean, I do not agree that they fucked up that entire cut down.
Well, 1,000%, because why would you waive someone after you just waived 20 people?
Like, yeah,
what's
that's
the point of waiving someone directly after? Like,
could have done it yesterday and kept two other random guys at a position in need.
Yeah, so what? And then, but also, like, when they waived Baker, did someone claim him already?
No, he does. He has till tomorrow now because he came, whatever. He got cut today. So now he's got.
Maybe that was the maybe the strategy was, like, we want to try to get him on the practice squad.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But, like, if you wanted to really do that, you would have done that yesterday. Because
if you do it today, all the other teams start, like, we claim Danny DeVito today.
He's basically Danny DeVito.
All the other teams start, like, claiming their guys, right? So then now you have, like, you just claim the guys you wanted. Now what, you're going to dump another guy for Baker? Like, they might just be like, ah, screw it. Like, just keep who
we have.
There's
still teams out there trying to trade for wide receivers. You know what I mean? You're not going to get, I mean, if you can't, now Kedrick Board's free. Anybody can sign him. So he's probably ahead of, if anybody's going to sign, you know what I mean? Like, people, maybe someone doesn't want to spend money to sign Kendrick Bourne, right? So now Baker, they just go ahead and sign, you know, just claim Javon Baker and his $700,000 he's owed this year. You know what I mean?
But we're also forgetting that, like, Baker has zero catches in the NFL.
Yeah. No, I don't think he's good, but he's good enough. As a seventh receiver on the team, you know what I mean? If somebody goes down.
Wait, don't we already have seven?
We have six now.
Oh, and they had to send Polk to IR.
Yeah, Polk went to IR. So you have your wide receivers are.
Yeah, so that's another confusing thing. If you're sending Polk to IR, why do they need to waive? That means you have three open spots now.
No, they have no open spots right now because they have. They claimed DeVito, who's a bum. Take it from a Syracuse man where he was like the highest recruit in 20 years. He's dog shit. And he had got hot last year because he was like the meme quarterback. You know what I mean? This stupid fucking North Shore agent with the hat really bugs me. I don't like it. I don't like I just hate that whole goofiness. But, you know, whatever. He's a third quarterback. He'd probably get cut anyway. But he's not good. He stinks. And some cornerback from the Rams. I mean, now they have 100 cornerbacks and three quarterbacks. And you're light on your offensive line and light at running back, light at tight ends that are any good. I mean, you have two good tight ends and then one fullback, kind of.
That was a weird. They kept that third guy. I didn't expect him to keep a third
Westover. Tight end. Yeah, he was playing in the preseason. Yeah. He didn't really do shit. So, yeah, they kept 9 offensive linemen. Probably should have kept 10. Vadarian Lowe made the team. Ridiculous.
Available.
He stinks. Marcus Bryant made the team. He should be the swing tackle. So you have 1, 2, 3, 4 tackles. 1 guard, 2 guards. And then you guess you only have 2 guards. And then you have a center guard and a center. And a center tackle or guard tackle, Caden Wallace, who stinks. So, I mean, they have weaknesses that they could have dealt with yesterday. Their linebackers are weak. Like the middle of the field is weak. Like Spillane looks good. Christian Ellis is okay. Jack Gibbons, I don't know a fucking goddamn thing about that guy. Has he even played? I know he was on the Titans. I've never heard his name before. I like to think that I watch the NFL quite a bit. Jack Gibbons is the name I have not yet heard.
Harold Landry, I don't know.
Harold Landry is he's the edge from BC. That's like a pass rusher only. He's okay. Calavon Chason.
He was a pass rusher.
Yeah, he's a bust. But these are edge guys. I'm talking about your second-level linebackers. You have 3 guys.
Mapu.
Again, like just big safety. Like, if you're going to keep Mapu, you might as well just put fucking Duggar playing linebacker. The same guy. Duggar would be better.
Yeah. Mapu, he was our second-round pick 2 years ago. He better be good.
Not. He's the third. He was a third-round pick, I think, as a safety out of like a second-tier school, like Sacramento State or something like that. And he was, you know, everyone was excited because he was he's kind of like a Swiss Army knife like Duggar, and he hasn't done shit. So it's very.
Yeah, I don't know what this Duggar hate is about. I still don't understand that. Like, why is he just so far, like, he was down playing the depth chart?
The same defense that everybody else is playing. He had like 6 solo tackles. Granted, it's against the twos, but that's what you're supposed to be doing if you're a starter. And he's dominating the twos, got a stupid interception off Jameis Winston. And I mean, I don't know how else you can show that you're better than fucking a rookie and Hawkins. Like, him and Pepper should be the starting safeties with, like, Hawkins playing deep or something. Realistically, it should be 3 safeties.
Yeah, well, this new... I wonder how Gonzalez is going to fit. It's weird because he hasn't practiced all camp. He's hurt. That's going to be a major issue that our best defender's hurt.
It's not great that he has a hamstring injury because... It was like the first week of July too, so I mean, you know, he's probably
forever.
Yeah. You could literally have a sore hamstring for 20 weeks.
Yeah, play a few, then have to sit out.
Yeah.
But well, also like switching the defense to quarters. Like Gonzalez is a lockdown man to man defender, and now he's just gonna play zone the whole game. I don't know if I love that.
No, it can't possibly. You got to play. I mean, Carlton Davis is a man corner too, so they're gonna play bump and run on the outside with like.
No, we're playing quarters.
You keep saying that. I don't know if I've read that anywhere.
That's what they said. They're changing the defense to quarters. I might have read that once and just been running with it for.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they're gonna play like game plan defense. I don't think they're gonna be like the Seahawks and just only play quarters. Because fucking, if you're playing like quarters defense, Duggar is perfect for that as a deep safety, like a fucking Earl Thomas.
No, the safeties aren't deep. The cornerbacks play deep.
Well, they play 4 straight lines, right?
Yeah, and the cornerbacks are like kind of play behind the safeties, and the safeties come up and tackle, which is why Duggar should be perfect for it.
I mean, I don't
maybe
think
he's not
playing
fast
that
enough, though.
He is fast enough. He was like he's a tremendous like punt returner and everything. He's like a 4-4 guy. I can't get enough of this.
Aren't you a Duggar jersey guy?
I am. Vince, I'm glad you brought that up. I am a Duggar jersey guy. And not that I'm gatekeeping the Jersey boys, but I don't want to have to throw that out. He's been great. Last year, he had a high ankle sprain. He had to get tightrope surgery for it. And, you know, he's playing through it, and these guys are acting like he's fucking... What was that kid that we had, the Syracuse... safety that I hated. He was bad, and some reason he came. I didn't even think he could have, like, I didn't think he was going to get a job in insurance after college. That's how bad I thought he was at college football. He walked onto the Chargers and like made the team somehow undrafted. And like 2 years later, Bill Belichick gave him like $12 million. Nice. This can't be. He was Steve Gregory. He actually played okay for us for a couple years. I think he's the guy that picked up the butt fumble and scored a touchdown, in fact.
Sounds right to me.
He's from Staten Island.
Cuse man?
He's a Cuse man. In our leaner years, he was a Cuse man.
Shout out to your head coach for paying his kid's tuition.
Yeah, that 100% that's free, by the way. If you're I know Syracuse does it for a fact, but most colleges do it. If you're a faculty member and your kid gets into the school, they go for free no matter what. Doesn't matter if he's on the football team or not.
He might have to pay like housing or something like that. Maybe. He already owns a house. It's like, he's living at home. So
he pays for his food. That's probably literally it. That's a good point. Well, because he goes to school for free, definitely. And
I'm sure dad's compensated pretty well.
Yeah, I think he makes $4 million a year, so he can afford it. To live in Syracuse city limits, it costs $18,000 a year. That's how much it costs. You just live there in a mansion if you'd like. Take any of the unused houses on Erie Boulevard. Look that up. That's a killer bit for the boys in Central New York. You guys don't get it, but whatever, doesn't matter. I'll talk your ear off about Erie Boulevard and the Brooklyn Pickle. We don't have to get into that right here now, but whatever, doesn't matter. I'm a little bit annoyed at the management of cut down day. You cut down day before, you cut like 12 players. None of them really cared about, right? Maybe Jaheim Bell. I was like, all right, he could have like been somewhat fun. And then today you cut, or yesterday you cut Strange and all these guys. The Patriots put out, they must have had like some fuck up because the Patriots put out a tweet prior to like Mike Reese's tweets with like a graphic. So an intern put together a graphic with a final roster. And Cole Strange was on the roster and Kendrick Bourne wasn't. So they must have had like either a trade in place or something going on because the first tweet from the Patriots had Cole Strange on the roster and Kendrick Bourne off it. And Mike Reese literally like in an instant was like, Kendrick Bourne made the team and Javon Baker made the team. Cole Strange is cut. And everyone's like, huh, what? And I think I tweeted back when I was like, some intern is scrambling right now because like, maybe like a minute later, they put up the new roster. The first one was all neat and tidy. It was like in by position groups. The next one, they just threw up there with like a bunch of names. Like, this is the team.
You can tell. You can still see the Excel squares.
Yeah, exactly. You know when you get the weird like fucking the error codes in the fucking Excel. Yeah, it was exactly that. Some fucking UMass Dartmouth intern got fired.
So Cole Strange didn't even make the practice squad.
Well, I don't know if they tried to re-sign him. He signed with the Browns. So, like, once you're waived, you can pick any team you want to sign with, unless you're claimed.
Wait, did they sign him? He's on the 50. He's on their roster?
No. He decided to sign with the Browns practice squad rather than the Patriots, unless the Patriots didn't offer it to him. That's the only difference. The only way, you know, if the Patriots and the Browns offered it, you know, I would think it would make sense to be with the Patriots because you've been here for so long and you live here, but... it's possible so he didn't even want like, to have him.
How does Elliot Wolf still have a job?
I really don't think Elliot Wolf does anything, to be quite honest with you. I think he's they said he was the guy or part of the team. And I think that the guys that Vrabel brought in and Vrabel himself are just like, yeah, dude, stretcher? Fuck this nerd. Giving him like fucking noogies. Like, I feel like he's like the Mayo holdover that they're stuck with. Like, he's probably
Chisholm said today that the way he found out he made the team was Elliot Wolf brought him in his office.
Might be true. I mean,
so you think he just gets to do that stuff?
I think he gets to do like the feel good stuff. He's like a make a wish kid kind of. He's like, oh, you get to kill the little white kid from Washington. Then he made a football team, and then like the other guys will do the hard stuff. Like they won't let him cut guys because he doesn't know how to do it. He gets too nervous. Elliot Wolf pees his pants. I don't know. I really don't know what he does, to be honest with you. This Cowden guy, I think, is the real GM. Stretch Striker is like the Ernie Adams for Vrabel. And then obviously Vrabel's like the Belichick. And I think like somebody must have a teen, like an infant son, and that's kind of like Gerard Mayo. So, whatever, it doesn't matter. I mean, every single one of Elliot Wolf's picks was so much worse than any pick that Bill Belichick ever had. By the way, it's like the most obvious pick in the history of the NFL was like his best and only pick, and it's the only thing that's probably keeps him having a job. Was having, like, he literally had to pick the last available of three starting quality quarterbacks coming out. Whoever fell, whether it was Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, or Drake May, he had to pick. That was the only thing he had to do. And then every single pick after that has been a disaster. His second-round pick, Polk, is on IR, would have been cut. Third-round pick, I think, was maybe made it. I don't even remember who it was.
Sal?
I don't think Sal made the team. Sal didn't make the team. No, and I think Belichick picked him anyway. But I know Baker, obviously, 2024. That guy, Laydon Robinson, didn't even come back to the practice squad. So he's another one. He was like a big pick for everyone was high on from Texas A&M. Yeah, Texas A&M. Everyone loved him as a guard.
Penn State tackle in there, a Penn State guard that they drafted.
That's Caden Wallace. Okay, that was the guy that they had. So he made the team, but everyone said he was going to get cut. So first round pick was Drake, obviously. Jalen Polk, we all know how that's going. Caden Wallace, they wanted him to be the starting right tackle. Remember they said? And then they were like, no, he could play left tackle. He was just behind that guy that was like an all-pro already.
That I wanted to draft. Giant.
So they were like, he could play left tackle. He couldn't play right tackle. He couldn't play left tackle. They had to move him to guard, and he stinks at that. Laydon Robinson was the next guy, Texas A&M, fourth-round pick. Cut in his second season. I don't even think he was picked up. Javon Baker, cut today. And then you skip to the sixth round. Marcellus Dial, who is a replacement-level corner, a special teamer at best, and he's out this year. Joe Milton, already traded, stinks. Jaheim Bell, cut again. So literally, he's got one guy that can contribute to this team. Like, if he turns out to be a Hall of Famer, good for you. But, like, literally anybody was making that pick. There was a 100% certainty. Well, actually, I mean, it was a 90% certainty you were taking Drake May, because everyone knew that Caleb Williams was going first. And it was basically Jaden Daniels or Drake May. And then it became clearer and clearer it was going to be Jaden Daniels going number two. So basically, he was gifted a good quarterback and then fucked up like six straight times immediately. And everyone was praising it. Like, look at the weapons. He got linemen, two wide receivers, a guard. I mean, a fucking tight end. This guy's doing all right. It's going to build up the offense.
You know what everyone's favorite thing to do is? Like, everyone, every single time. So last year we draft Polk and then we draft Baker. And everyone, like, obviously you take Polk in the second round. He's, you know, projected to be better. He's better in college. Everything about him is better. Yeah. Yet everyone loves to go, you know who I love? That wide receiver they got. And they're like, oh, Polk. And they go, no. The guy they got later. That's the guy.
This is the guy that's going to show up on game day.
Yeah.
You see him on.
That guy is good.
Yeah, you saw him on Instagram.
He slipped for some other reasons. That's not why he dropped. It's not because he was only average in college. It's because he is actually way better. He could have been the Heisman.
He was just hidden. He was hidden. People didn't see him a lot at University of Central Florida.
People love that move.
The reason he was good is because he had to leave Alabama to go to a different school to show how good he was.
Yeah. He would have easily jumped Jahmyr Gibbs at running back if they just let him switch positions, but they didn't. So then he switched and he ended up being a wide receiver.
No, he was sunken on the depth chart behind Heisman winners. I mean, what are you going to do? Give the guy a chance.
But everyone loves that. They won't say Polk. They always will go to the other guy that was drafted. I don't know why.
There's a
why didn't I see Butte on the roster?
He's on the roster. He's possibly the best receiver they have currently.
I was just looking at it.
Yeah, it's Butte, Williams, Diggs.
Oh, yeah.
Stupid Mac Diggs, Hollins. I stand by that, by the way, that Kendrick Bourne's better than Mac Hollins. Are we for real going to sit here and pretend that Mac Hollins is like a starting level wide receiver in the NFL? He's a 700 yard guy at his absolute max. He's not moving the needle of your offense. I mean, Bourne had a little bit of explosivity to him. Could, run side to side. I don't know what Matt Collins gives you. He's a straight line.
He had a couple of good years the last couple of years.
But still.
31 catches for 378 yards. And
with Josh Allen, by the way.
251 yards.
Josh Allen was begging for a wide receiver two for the last 5 years. That's all if you follow anything Buffalo Bills, they were like, okay, this guy needs anybody to throw to besides Diggs. Diggs gets every single ball. And then they had Gabe Davis. He couldn't do it. So they brought in fucking Matt Collins. He couldn't do it. They had Amari Cooper. He couldn't do it. I mean, all these guys, he needs the big thing in Buffalo is getting a wide receiver too. And Matt Collins can't do shit with him. And he pisses me off walking around with fucking no shoes. I don't care for that hippy dippy shit.
Yeah.
One with the earth Rabel at your
really
house.
Is trying to. Rabel's going for a full reset. I think he came in and was probably
saying,
we stink. Because everyone's obsessed with us, thinking we're going to win 10 games. I think he's coming in being like, hey, this team is not that deep. There's not that many guys. We have all these holes, all these draft picks, all these young kids suck. They're all soft. Get them out. Why don't you start over? Who gives
a fuck?
He wants
some maulers. I get it. But, there was better decisions to be made. You didn't need to cut Cole Strange. The thing with Cole Strange was, his rookie year was fine. Then he blew out his knee horrifically. Whereas, maybe he's finished. He literally might be finished. But I wouldn't call him a bust because he was a fine left guard. Not a dominant left guard by any means, but he was going to get better. And then he was having a better, second year. And then his knee blew out. And his third year was basically wiped out. So he had a year and a half of playing okay and then blows out his knee. His number one attribute was his athleticism. And that was gone. So, the minute he had no athleticism left in his knee, maybe it is time to cut bait, but I don't know. I hadn't seen enough from this year.
He also could be he's a good he's a center guard, so we can play. He can cover a lot of positions for a roster spot.
Ben Brown was a guy you picked up off a guy's practice squad last year. Then you got Caden Wallace, who isn't going to be good enough. He couldn't play right guard. He couldn't play right tackle. Definitely can't play left tackle. He's not going to play right guard. He can't play right guard. I don't know where you put him. He hasn't been good at any position he's played.
So who is the starting line right now?
I mean, I think you're going full rookie on the left side. That's what I think anyway, unless they switch it up. I mean, they're going to go Campbell on the left tackle. Then they're going to have Jared Wilson playing left guard, kid from Georgia that they drafted as a center. Apparently you're left guard now. Then you got Garrett Bradbury.
Gonna play left guard.
Yeah. So you're going to have two rookies playing the left side. Then you have Garrett Bradbury, the guy that can't pass block, playing center. Mike Onwenu.
Where is he from? Where'd Bradbury come from? Never heard of that guy.
Yeah, they traded or they picked up. So the Vikings cut him early this year. He was pretty good for a couple of years, but then he can't pass block at all. He's if you look at any of his ratings, he's a 75 run block and a zero pass block rating. Then you got Onwenu and Morgan Moses on the right side. That's what I think it is anyway. I mean, unless they put Ben Brown at center, which they might. I don't fucking know. I think they hit on Marcus Bryant, too, if we're being honest. The seventh-round tackle from Missouri. But I don't know. They could build.
Mogus is huge, right? He's a big vet. He's
old. He's got to be 35. I'm going to give it a goog. Morgan Moses, 34 years old. God damn it, I was right on. He'll be 35 in March. I mean, he played for the Baltimore Ravens when, Joe Flacco was quarterback. So, yeah, he's old.
I like that.
Yeah.
You kind of need someone, though. That we have, every person on the offensive line is, 23.
I get it. I mean, I'm just, yeah. I mean, Cole Strange could have been a good swing interior lineman to keep rather than keeping Vadarian Lowe, who you know is a turnstile. If you're going to keep Marcus Bryant and Caden Wallace, both tackles, Vadarian Lowe doesn't mean to be there. You know what I mean? Then you have five tackles right now out of 10 players.
I don't know. Because Onwenu and Caden Wallace also played tackle.
Yeah, exactly.
Two more guys that could potentially be tackles.
Right. And then, I mean, you keep a fucking, not that I care, like, about it at all, because I haven't heard his name once, but, like, Braden Swinson was supposed to be the steal of the draft. They got him in, like, the fucking sixth or the fifth round. He was supposed to be a third rounder from LSU, had 9 sacks at LSU last year. They cut him for an undrafted free agent, Elijah Ponder, from Sacramento State or Cal Poly Tech, wherever the hell. Like, I mean, not that I care about it, but, like, let's not fucking say everybody's the greatest drafter of all time. I mean, Swinson was like a, you know, he was up there. He was supposed to be, he was ranked like a top 100 prospect by Mel there. And he still he still gets cut round one. It doesn't even get claimed.
We are kind of light on corner because they only have, if Gonzalez doesn't play the first game, they only have 4 corners.
Well, and they claimed one today.
So the fifth one, yeah, so they had to, yeah. So that kind of makes sense. Like, you can't keep all these wide receivers if you're light at corner and you need to kind of fill the roster out. The
problem is there's no, like, wide receivers that you can even get right now to, like, improve your team. Like, you could, like, realistically, do you think they would even go try to get Jacoby Myers?
I don't hate our wide receiver room, though. I think Kyle Williams is going to be good. I think I like Butte. I think he's solid. Yes. I like Pop Douglas and Diggs. And Chisholm clearly beat out Baker and Kendrick Bourne.
Chisholm looks good, but, like, he's going to be only in the middle. And he's – honestly, I think he's going to be, like – he's going to – it's going to be a lot of two – like, a lot of 4 wide receiver sets with, like, they used to do at Amendola and Edelman, where they're going to do Pop Douglas and Chisholm in the middle and then Diggs and Boudet on the outside. It's just – I don't know.
I'm assuming that Chisholm doesn't dress because I think Kyle Williams is better than him.
Chisholm? Yeah, but you know how fucking, you know how much Josh loves slot guys in the middle, running the middle of the field.
Pop Douglas is, he has to go for 1,000 yards this year.
Pop's going to eat 100%. But like,
Pop has to go for like 1,100 yards. He has to have a big year.
He drops the ball. He dropped the ball a lot in preseason. I love Pop, but he dropped the ball like at least twice that I saw. It's unacceptable for a slot man to let the ball bounce off his hands. Turnover city. Some of them were a little bit 620 overthrown.
Last year on 66 catches and 561 his first year on 49 catches. He could explode this year.
I easily see him going for 85, 90 catches.
He, like, the offense is going to be a lot better just because we're going to be a professional offense.
An offensive mind coaching offense, yes. I mean, I don't know what happened with Bill O'Brien, honestly, because he is a good offensive coordinator, and the team was dog shit. I think he just hated Mac Jones. And then, obviously, you know that Alex Van Pelt was a moron, and Gerard Mayo was a moron. Actually, I kind of feel bad for Alex Van Pelt, because he just didn't know what he was doing. He was just excited to be here, guy. Like, you know, got a job, can't believe it.
He's 60 years old. He's been mainly working in, like scouting departments, and like barely coached for a couple of years. And then someone's like, hey, you want to be offensive coordinator? He's like, he's probably like went home and told his wife, like, yeah, I you know what? I deserve this.
Babe, I've worked so hard. I've been working so hard, and you know I have. I drew up these plays in this napkin.
You should be offensive coordinator a long time ago. This is your chance. Maybe you'll be head coach, honey. Maybe that's, you can do that. We all know that's your dream.
He couldn't have been worse than Gerard Mayo at head coach.
No.
I think back to game one of last year a lot and how they did the take him to the hill thing, and I get douche chills. Remember when they threw the Gatorade on him and they were saying take him to the hill? Because they were like, that's how they like used to, what do you call it, condition at the end of practice. They'd run up a hill. They probably he'd probably give him fucking marshmallows up there. You know, try to make him run fast, and then they'd give him marshmallows and rub their bellies. I hated that whole era. That there's going to be volumes of stories written about the era that was the Gerard Mayo follow-up to Bill Belichick. I might write him a news. I'm gonna start a newsletter bashing it daily.
How good was Belichick's quote this week about why he likes coaching in the college better?
I hated fucking that fucking rat fuck Ben Volen went down there to like literally. He's the literally his job is head NFL writer at Boston Globe. And he's at University of North Carolina, and he's there for one reason only. And you know it's to get Bill Belichick to talk shit about the Patriots. It has nothing to do with fucking, I mean, any NFL. That's just college football. I mean, he's out of the league. He's no longer an NFL guy. So he was just down there for one reason, and he got fucking the quote, but the heat is gone. No more heat.
Ben Bowen? What's he doing now?
He should be icing his eyes because they look like he got stung by about 1,000 bees. He is he's one of the ugliest people ever.
Yeah.
Have you seen Ben Bowen's face? It's just awful. He has a giant, stupid nose that's kind of – he might be a drunk.
I see where you're going. Based on how – kind of nose is that?
Based on his face, like if you look at him, everything is swollen. He has
anything in particular about his nose that you notice?
It's like that big red nose is what he has.
Yeah, is it red? I can see the Free Palestine colors coming out of your eyes right now.
He's like this. This is how he kind of looks like. He's a little squirrely.
He's a fucking boob. He's everything that's wrong with sports media in general. He's get clicks guy. He's Felger and Maz, but writing for a dead medium. He's no one's reading your print newspaper, dummy. Like
no, he is
his tweets
person.
Get way more looks than fucking anything he writes on the internet. Or do they even print the Boston Globe anymore? I couldn't tell you if they did. Like him and Dan Shaughnessy probably like have ham sandwiches in the fucking break room and talk about how great they are at knowing sports more than anybody that's around here. Dan Shaughnessy's kids getting DUIs. Fucking drunk face. Carl Crawford. Who called him curly haired boyfriend or whatever his name? Who was that? Carl Crawford. Nobody remembers?
Somebody made fun. I don't know what you're talking about.
No, somebody called Dan Shaughnessy the curly haired boyfriend. I think it was Carl Crawford.
Of who?
He called Dan Shaughnessy that.
I didn't really get it. The curly-haired boyfriend? Was he gay?
No, he was just making fun of Dan Shaughnessy.
He is a little dweeb.
I know. That's the best part about it.
I'm lost. I knew I was lost.
God damn it. Curly-haired boyfriend. Carl Everett. I was right. God damn it. Shaughnessy, curly-haired boyfriend.
No, I heard you, Vince.
What? What'd he say?
Vince.
What'd he say?
Can you not hear him?
Right now, no. Mute yourself.
He said something about a lot of bakers in his family. I didn't get the joke, though.
He's not even here. He's not even in the room. Vince, are you there? Say a word. He's not here. Are you making shit up?
Who are you talking to? I can hear him. What are you talking about?
I can't. You're fucking with me. I don't hear him. He's not in the room that I created. Where
he
could
just
he
said
be?
I'm
oh, there he is.
I'm looking at
saying,
him.
I've been saying shit. It's not going through.
There you are.
Tony,
I see you now.
Tony apparently couldn't hear you the whole time because
Vince
would say something.
I thought you muted me.
I didn't mute
you. I thought that you were going to reply to Vince a couple times, so I didn't speak. And then you're like, oh, no one's going to talk. I'm like, well, Vince is talking.
I don't understand on my website where I created a room how you guys are talking to each other and I don't see Vince. You're back now. I just caught you back a second ago.
Not having a producer is killing us. Dom is just doing an awful job.
Terrible. I know he's serving cupcakes at the fucking, the Pine Street Inn, but I don't know what the fuck he's doing these days. He should have been a producer. I fired him. He said he was going to come and video us. He's like, I only get a battery for 25 minutes. I said, what kind of camera comes with a 25-minute battery?
That's not real.
Fucking hamster on a wheel. That's what he
a
told me.
Great. That's an all-time, I don't want to do this excuse. Yeah.
I only have a battery that lasts 25 minutes. I said, that's literally impossible. That camera would sell zero cameras.
That should work, though, because your podcast only goes to 25 minutes,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Well, it films in 17K. Shut up. You don't need it. I just need you to fucking film the podcast of me on a couch. That's all I needed. Now I got a fucking Vince going in and out. I'm in my fucking...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Trying to do my podcast. I got lights in the sky. Oh, it doesn't make any sense.
Vince had a few gems in there.
Did he?
Preseason cups.
Yeah, I mean, we missed everything that Vince had because he was I got no sound out of it, and I definitely didn't get video. I don't have you on video anyway, but I got no sound.
I didn't say much. I said something about bankers because we were talking about noses.
Let's recap. Tyler was talking about noses, and I think we all know what he meant by that.
Yeah.
I don't know if Ben Volen is Jewish. Is he even
fucking
Jewish?
Stop it. All right, come on. I know where you're going. Try. Don't play coy with me, Tyler.
That was not a Jewish. That was a drunk joke. He had the red. I was making fun of his red drunk nose.
Yeah. What's that little hat you're wearing up there, man? What do you got there?
Oh, you're something else.
I didn't get that vibe at all, Tyler, but.
We're just so used to having KP on, so you just always assume that someone's trying to sneak in something racist somewhere.
Yeah, I am. I am most times, but I'm not as overt as KP is. I like to slide them in under the radar when nobody's paying attention. Sorry, Vince. We missed you. I don't know. That stinks. But yeah, curly haired boyfriend was Carl Everett. I'm really happy that I pulled that out of nowhere. He said Carl Everett one time broke up the a no hitter in the ninth inning with a little bloop. He was a fucking absolute piece of shit, Carl Everett. I feel like he didn't believe in dinosaurs too, and he made a big deal about it. He was kind of psychotic in that way. He like would openly just talk about not believing in dinosaurs. Whatever. He had a lot of home runs, and that'll cure a lot of.
He used to hit the ball. He had to be a prime steroid guy. He used to hit the ball so hard.
Well, he wasn't skinny, but he was not big like that. I'm sure he did steroids because everybody did.
He would crush the ball.
I loved his batting stance. He stood straight up, like his legs almost touching. I tried to do it in Babe Ruth a couple times. Didn't have the same effect. I was like, you stand straight up, and you had a wiggled your hips, kind of like Gary Sheffield, but not really, like not as drastic. He would like wiggle left to right. When the ball is coming, he'd go to the right, like back on his back leg, and then just smoke the ball, and then say, "Fucking brontosaurus, unreal!" As he rounded the bases, I don't know. I don't know why I feel less enthused about this team as I did last week. I watched them get blown out against the Giants.
So it's not going to be we're not going to win 12 games. We're just not.
I never thought it was going to be 12, but I had. I mean, they have such a weak schedule that 10 is attainable. Like, literally almost every team they're playing is their level or worse. There's, like, they could win 10 games and still get blown out game one of the playoffs by 40. They could be like the Tebow Broncos.
Here's the problem with this team is, like, there's only one position where we have, like solid veterans. Where, like, we have a young guy coming up that is going to be so good that he's going to have to get on the field, and that's running back.
Yes.
Every other position is, like, we're dying for a safety that's good to, like, step up, and nobody will. We're dying for a linebacker to step up that's young and be good. No one's good. We're dying for any edge rusher to be good. And they're like, all right, we have no depth.
Why they didn't take a chance on Isaiah Simmons. Just on talent alone, he was cut by Green Bay, unclaimed, by the way, so nobody even took a shot on him. Unclaimed, Isaiah, he was the number 8 pick. He runs a 4.3 40 as a middle linebacker. He's kind of busted out, but there's, like, again, he's got to be better than Jack Gibbons. Who is Jack Gibbons, this man of mystery? Vrabel needed to have him, signed him. I don't know how much money he got. It's too much. Whatever it is, it's too much. And I haven't seen him play on the field at all. And apparently he's just been a lock since day one. I haven't heard. Spillane, listen, God's gift to football. Man's everywhere.
He must be like a guy that yells in the gym all the time. Vrabel just loves it.
Spillane or Gibbons?
These guys that we don't know of that Vrabel's like locked into roster spots.
Yeah, he locked in Gibbons early.
No, I have a feeling that a couple of these guys are like Gibbons must be like walking down the hallway and just shouldering dudes in the hallway and not backing down. And Vrabel's like, well, we obviously need way more of that. Like,
yeah, I mean, let's see him go up against fucking Keon White. All right, 26 years old. What is this guy doing? 6'3", 240, undrafted free agent from Minnesota. Okay. He's from Texas. That's a good start. Let's see. His stats all time. Played 3 years with Tennessee, 28 tackles as a rookie, 95, and then 44. So maybe he was hurt last year. 1.5 sacks total.
95 tackles 1 year?
95 tackles 2 years ago.
I mean,
55 solo,
that would be our best linebacker.
40 assists is that's not. I don't even count that. Do you count an assist as a tack? Because that's rap. That's like a got two guys have somebody and you come up and finish them. Like that's
that was my MO.
Yeah, exactly.
I was a clean jump on the weight pile guy.
Okay,
who didn't like jumping on the weight pile?
No, I love it. I mean, but still, like, they're counting 95 total tackles, but they're 55 solo, still good. But like,
so he sounds like he probably has like a high motor and he just never gives up on plays. So he's
high motor guy, exactly. Never gives up. He's fucking, what do they call it? Scrapper and a clawer. One of these fucking guys. We got it. I mean,
is he a white guy?
Of course. Look at him.
No, he's not.
You see, is Jack Gibbons?
I don't know.
I'm looking right at his photo. I can promise you he's white.
I'm going to be honest. I've watched.
I told you. You never saw him or heard of him. He's never done anything before.
I don't know
before.
Anyone on the team, though.
He's got no splash plays. Zero splash plays. All right, let's see what you're all about. Fucking Spillane.
Oh, he's got great flow. Does he?
I'm trying to see the stats for this seasucker. Robert Spillane. Where you been at, fella? All right, he's been in the league quite a bit. Western Michigan, I like that. That's a gritty school. He's 6'1". Okay, so hold on. He played for Pittsburgh 4 years and Vegas 2. Didn't he have something to do with Vrabel? I thought he did. Anyway, he had 150 tackles last year, 140 the year before that, 80 the year before that with Pittsburgh, and then lower and lower and lower. But 3.5 sacks 2 years ago, 2 sacks. I mean, this guy's all over the place now. He's got
Spillane is the best linebacker we've had in a long time.
Yeah, by far. And he's on the up, too. He's 29.
Yeah.
He's 29 years old. He's on his way up. Like, Pittsburgh, like, he got better. He's gotten better every single year. He's literally, he multiplies his tackles, multiplies his sacks, fucking interceptions. I mean, this kid's pretty good, to be honest with you. Gibbons, shit. I'd cut him today and wouldn't even remember him. If he was my accountant tomorrow, he could be like, I played for the Patriots. I said, no, you didn't, you liar.
Where did Jaylen Hawkins come from and Craig Woodson?
See, here we go. This is a Patriots podcast. I swear to God it is. We talk about the team. We understand the team. We know the draft. We know the roster. We know where the players come from. I'm talking to my co-host. Whomst has done this with me for so many years. Jaylen Hawkins isn't even new. He was on the team last year.
Oh, he was on the team last year. No, I actually.
No, that's not. I mean, yes, he was on the team last year. And Woodson is the 4th-round rookie that they got this year from Cal that they want to replace Duggar with.
They just drafted Woodson.
Are you just repeating me?
I'm just trying to figure this out. I'm just trying to get everything down. Hey, I'm
write this down. So do you have a notebook?
I didn't know we had a quiz.
I don't know what you do at work all day. This is like 90% of my work day. I'm trying to figure out where to put. I'm trying to find out the X's and the O's and the Jimmies and the Joes, my guy.
So you this is. I mean, judging by what happened today, the amount of tweets that started getting fired out.
Oh yeah. Well,
it was like as soon as the roster dropped, it was ba boom. Tony's in the doctor hammering tweets.
I was at the doctor's waiting room when that happened. So I was laying down the lumber today while I was waiting. But yeah, no. Nonsense. I hated it. And it's one thing to be teaching KP the fucking roster because he's over in fucking Djibouti right now delivering chocolate milk. I need you on top of your game. It's almost fucking game day, baby. We got like next Sunday. There's gonna be players on that field you don't even know.
I used to watch or maybe listen to like the radio or like I can't do any of that anymore. They're all just so insufferable.
I get it.
Everything on
just like with the vaccination, you have to do your own research.
I listened to Mike Reese. I was waiting for cutdown day. Believe me, game one, I'm going to be watching film. I just can't preseason.
Get in the film room. I need you in the film room. The Malcolm Gold podcast is about being outworking the next podcast. There's a million people trying to take our job. Doesn't everybody understand that?
We've done this. I've done it so many times where I've watched preseason and been like, oh, that guy, Mike, that's a starter. Minimum, like, he could be an all-pro. And then he gets cut. So I'm like, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not watching preseason. I'm done. I'm done getting excited for anything.
I do, actually. I'm a liar. I do watch it. I watch to see the new players, and I like to see how Drake does amongst the bums. But it gets boring after watching, like, because they don't run any good plays. And then they, I mean, Trevion Henderson was fun to watch in preseason. He was fucking blasting through the line, making plays. Chisholm was fun. You know, watching guys make the team is fun. Not, I wouldn't say, like, all the bums that are, like, not going to be having a job at all this year and going to be in the XFL, whatever they call it. Like, that stuff boring and sucks. But, like, seeing Chisholm break out, like, score touchdowns was fun. And Trevion Henderson.
Point, but I'm convinced that, like, all we heard about this offseason was Chisholm. And what I think is going to happen is Kyle Williams is just going to be way better than him.
Yeah, but he hasn't even played, really. I mean, he got hurt, got a concussion, because Dobbs stinks. He throws hospital balls left and right. He's the reason Baker's cut, by the way, because Baker's playing with the fucking twos, and every time he was getting open a couple times, and Dobbs fucking was throwing, I didn't even know where, he was like fucking Chuck Knoblauch. He was putting in the fucking second deck.
So that's what I'm saying. So I don't
old is that
excited.
Reference, boys? Chuck Knoblauch, the New York Yankees second baseman of the 1990s. He had the yips once and used to throw the ball into the fucking bleachers. Look it up, younger listeners.
But that's the thing, is like, I'm not going to get excited about Chisholm. I just refuse to get excited. He doesn't move the needle for me. It's like, because I think Kyle Williams is going to be good. Yet I haven't heard one person talk about Kyle Williams this entire offseason.
No. Well, I don't know about Kyle Williams, but I haven't got my head out of, I'm going to be honest, I haven't got my head out of Chuck Knoblauch, because I was just thinking about, when he got the yips. And this was peak Red Sox-Yankees rivalry. Red Sox hadn't won yet. And we were in, like, sitting behind first base, whatever you'd call that, like the field box. And me and my friends were teenagers being dicks. And all of us were yelling at Knoblauch when he was playing second base, because he was, like, literally every single game for, like, I don't know, from the beginning of the season. He was great. He was, like, an all-star. And then one year, it was, like, 98. Just started. He couldn't hit first base anymore. Craziest shit you've ever seen. He played second base. I mean, my daughter can throw it to first base from second base. He would throw it in the bleachers every single game. And we were just like, fuck it. We started a chant. We tried to started a Knoblauch chant. And like every inning, you know, he didn't do it. And then all of a sudden in the sixth inning, God damn it, he threw it into the fucking bleachers. And it was like the greatest moment of my life. I just wanted to fucking, that was a good memory for me. I just had.
I remember I went to a game. I was like 22. I was sitting in right field, like in the first row, and I think it was someone for the Twins. He just got called up like 2 weeks ago. He was kind of struggling, and I, for some reason, was just yelling like, "Hey, you're gonna get sent back to AAA!" the entire game. And then
loved
like,
it.
Recently, I thought about that. I'm like, that must have been. He must have been probably thinking that. Like, I'm gonna go back down.
He 100%
but when
was
you're doing
that.
It, you're like, well,
made it to the show, boys.
It. He's on the team. I should try to ruin his life.
I love good fucking. Just
old, it was so mean.
Old Red Sox banter was good when nobody had phones and you couldn't get told on. I first of all, I remember this. Like, my dad used to get these seats all the time. And they were like vendor seats. Like, for, you know, we would buy a bunch of shit construction-wise. And my dad would just randomly come home in the summer when I was, like, out of school. And he'd be like, I got Red Sox tickets tonight. And it'd be, like, once or twice a summer. And, they were right on either the dugout or they were to the field, right field box, right on the ground. And my dad would pick me up and he would drink Budweiser cans the entire way to Fenway. And literally, he doesn't drink ever. He would never drink like at home, like during the week, especially. And, you know, rarely on the weekends that I see him drinking, especially beer. And he would just drink Budweiser's hard, you know, Bud heavies the whole way in. And this one time we went. And we were playing the White Sox, and he just decided he was just going to not let up on the fucking first base coach. And he was just calling him fat ass and just literally burying him for, like, I'm not even joking, like 2 hours. I'd, like, never seen anything like it. He just was laying into the fucking Chicago White Sox first base coach for having, like, a fat ass for literally, I'm not even joking, it was 8 innings. And I was like, this is getting boring for me. How are you not bored? And I was like fucking 7 years old.
Nothing I know about your dad, like, I could never picture him doing that.
No, it was the craziest thing I've ever seen.
It just was so different then.
Yeah, it was weird. I mean, I didn't know. It was like, he had a, I fucking wish I could remember this guy's name. But my dad, like, I didn't realize that, like, I don't know. I was too stupid because I was young. But he read the guy's name. I was like, you know that guy? Like, because he just, like, saw the guy's name on the back of his jersey at the beginning of the game. He was like, hey, Jackson, you piece of shit, you fat fuck. Literally, for fucking no reason. The first base coach, not even a player. Poor guy's making 35 grand a year. Just getting berated by a drunk North Shore.
It is funny
Shore.
To think about him, like, yeah, just going home. Be like, hey, how was the Boston trip?
It's not great.
I don't know. We get a...
It was a Tuesday night, Janice. I don't know what this guy's doing.
How many times did I tell you not to bring the ice cream in the house? If it's in the house, I can't help myself.
It was Tuesday night. He was with his son. He must have been 8. I was like, what the fuck? I remember clear as day, they were wearing the pinstripe Chicago White Sox fucking uniforms. And
it's so funny just to do it to, like, for no reason either. It's not like this, like... You knew this guy growing up. He was a player. He hit a big home run again. Like, if Aaron Boone, like, if you just are heckling him, like, I'd be like, all right, I get that. But, like, he didn't know
nothing.
There was nothing to that guy.
He was just picking on his appearance solely. Literally, there was nothing baseball related. It was about the way he looked, and that was it. Looked terrible in those pants.
There had to be something else other than that.
Maybe, but I was too young to know if he was, like, an old player. He couldn't have been a good old player because he was a first base coach. Like, that's who – name one good player that's ever been a first base coach. Like, you're direct to manager if you were ever a good coach, a good player.
I think it's just good fun.
And Windmill Kim. That's good. That's good old school Boston humor. Old Windmill Kim. Rest in peace, by the way. Third base coach that would wave him in. Chinese. Maybe
he was
Korean.
I was a Wayback Wasden guy.
Also a great one. That's a great nickname. Wayback Wasden. I love a lot. There's a lot of good old Red Sox nicknames. Oil Can Boyd. That seems racist, but he, like, named himself that, which is even crazier.
That's a good name.
Oil Can Boyd. Yeah, it is. Got to think of other ones. There's a lot of good ones. El Guapo.
You know what infuriated me this week? Well, there's a couple things you got to talk about Rabel, but... one was, it might have been Volan asked him.
Here we go.
I think it was another fat, dumb question. He said, why did you? He's like, well, so Keon White, like, it looks like he is not going to be the starter come week one. And Rabel had to go, like, all right, you understand, like, this is the NFL, like, there's different packages, like, it's they're probably going to play the same amount of snaps. It doesn't matter what snap you play. The first one or the last, like, just why are you asking that question? Like, we're 12 years old, and that this is Pop Warner football.
I like that he's like, Bill Belichick was always, like, dismissive of the media and, like, alphas them, but, like, he didn't have the physical presence of a Mike Rabel doing it the same way. Like, you and me, like, with Bill Belichick doing it, you're like, all right, he's so much smarter than me. Like, he kind of made me feel dumb. Like, Mike Rabel makes you look like he's going to stuff you in a trash barrel. Like, he's going to be smarter than you and then also stuff you into a locker. That's where Ben Volan goes to when he sees Mike Rabel standing up there being an alpha male, telling him about his job and how stupid he is.
He also, like, he does, like, Belichick used to do it in, like, a, like, demeaning way. He would just kind of, like, roll his eyes, like, passive-aggressively at you. Like, what are you, the dumbest person I've ever met in my life? Rabel just calls him that. He's like, are you an idiot? Is that what you think happens in the NFL? You fucking moron. You do this as a job. You watch every game every week and you report on it. And you
Who
think
told you
starters.
You could work with men? You douchebag. You idiot.
Yeah,
Gary Glenn
is,
Ross.
It's great.
So did you get that,
know.
Vince?
And then,
that was Glenn Ross.
I love
told
Gary
you
Gary.
You could work with men. You asshole. Al Pacino.
The other good one he had was he called someone a rat.
Yeah. Well, he said there was rats in the building.
What was that about?
Mike Giardi asked him about Jalen Polk going on IR. He's like, we got some rats in the building. He said, and then he walked it back a little bit, saying that, like, he was just pissed off about the game. Yeah, but whatever. There are rats in the building. He's going to figure them out. Got to get them out of there. Got to set them up. Can't be talking about injuries. I mean, that's fucking Patriots 101. Literally, you don't talk about injuries. How did anybody find out? It's probably Elliot Wolf. Probably left his Barbie backpack outside and somebody saw it. his fucking trapper keeper had put Jalen Polk on IR Monday. Hart Mayo it says Elliot Mayo written over and over again. You guys don't get it. I was having a laugh about it.
I guess
because he wants to marry Gerard Mayo because they're best friends.
Next week, what are we going to cover? We're going to cover the Raiders, which
for sure
I'm nervous about. I'm real nervous about the Raiders.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be an easy win. Now I'm a little fucking annoyed. I don't know. I'm down. This is how it goes. I'm week to week with everything, with the team, with everybody, really.
Well, this is like last year we kind of knew that they weren't going to be like competent.
I disagree. I didn't think they were going to be incompetent. I thought that they were going to be young and somewhat ineffective, but I thought they were going to be growing pains because I thought Drake May wasn't going to start till like the middle of the year. You know, we didn't think they were going to be a playoff team. I mean, somebody played the tape back. I don't know. Maybe we did. I usually do, but
I'm sure we were probably jokingly like, oh, they're 8 wins in there.
Yeah. I can find 8 wins.
But no, there's no like, well, first of all, the receivers kept like, there. That was a disaster preseason. They were running like a basic offense. Brissett was a quarterback who we're kind of okay with. And Mayo was he was talking about. Like,
we said the defense. We got a defense will carry him. Don't worry about it. And the defense was good week one, and then they got immediately worse. Every single game they got worse and worse and worse. That was the problem with them.
Well, Gonzalez missed the second half of the year, right? Am I remembering that?
No, he didn't miss any games last year.
He played the whole season.
Yeah, the year before that he got hurt.
The first year he got hurt against the Cowboys, yeah. But Barmore was also gone for the whole year.
Barmore was out last year for the blood
clots. That's who we're basically relying, like, if he's healthy, the defense is going to be awesome because you're going to have Barmore and Williams up the middle.
Right.
So that instantly makes your DNs, they're going to get, like, default sacks.
Yeah, because they're going to be crushing this. And you could run fucking Keon White up the middle, too, on stunts. That'd be fucking Bull Rush City, if I do say so myself. I might even fucking copyright that. Bull Rush City. Ken White has no other moves, by the way. He might stink only because he can't do anything else besides that. Like, if there's a strong tackle, Keon White can't beat it. Like, Keon White can beat a weaker tackle. He's fast and really strong, but he's not swim moving anybody. I'm going through your face and that's it. If that doesn't work, it's a wrap on Keon. So like, I mean, if there's a weaker tackle in him, he'll have like 3 sacks in that game. But if there's a strong tackle, you might not even know he's on the field. Like if he played a Tyron Smith in his heyday, Keon White's name wouldn't come across anybody's lips. But you know what I mean?
Or the guy for the Eagles who's a monster.
Yeah, both of them. The fucking Samoan guy and the guy that makes fun of the Patriots and, you know, the bald guy. I forget his name. Doesn't matter. He's got the upper hand now.
We just want everyone out there to know we're going to be ready week one.
I just want you to know that. I've watched the games before.
Now that we have 53 men, it's a lot easier to track a roster with 53 guys in. What do they have running around there? 106?
Yeah, 100 guys in pennies. They had alternates, fucking double numbers. 17 guys were at number 12.
We have depth charts. We know who's on the team. Tyler did
a 2.5-hour podcast yesterday on the engagement of Taylor Swift. Just want all you guys to know. 2.5 hours on it.
That was big stuff. I am pretty much what I'm trying to figure out lately is why the last time when I went to the driving range, did I tell you guys this already? I hit the ball into the like off the ceiling, into the bay next to me. Hit the wall, bounced into the bay behind me, and hit the guy behind me. And they both looked at me like, dude, what the fuck are you doing?
First time?
And so I've been pretty much lost for 2 weeks in my golf game is what is going on.
I'm not a golfer, clearly.
Yeah. Well, you haven't hit anybody at the range that's standing directly next to you. So it's borderline impossible to do.
Yeah. How'd you pull that off anyway? Just fucking got under it? I don't even know. I'm gonna golf.
I don't know either, but I had to go. After that, I was like, all right, guys, I'm going to go for a walk. I need to apologize for that.
I don't want anybody getting hurt. I'm going to take it off. I'm going to take the day off. You have the rest of these balls.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, I forgot that. I hate that they have a week in between the season and the fucking preseason now. I like to roll into it. Raiders, where do you stand on... Pete Carroll's what worries you. I mean, Geno Smith and Pete Carroll are fine. But, like, the Raiders don't have a good defense. They don't really have anybody on offense. They have a rookie running back, Genty.
Genty's awesome, and Bowers is an animal.
Bowers is an animal. I love that guy. I would have taken Brock Bowers number 3 overall last year if it was up to me. I'm such a tight end fiend. I would have traded back to 5 or something, or not, or 7. Somebody with 2 first round picks got fucking, I don't even know, JJ McCarthy and Brock Bowers. I would have figured out how to do that. That's why I make the big bucks. That's what I would have been doing.
Yeah, who and they just signed Amari Tom Brady out.
No, fuck, he's a bum. He's been done for 5 years. And he's just going on the team. What's he going to do? Catch a slant? He's fucking can't even run.
He would be like our third best receiver. But yeah.
Amari Cooper, yeah. And he was like a top 5 pick. He's finished. I mean, that's all like, yeah, Bowers is your problem. And then you get Jacoby Myers, who's average and doesn't want to be on the team anymore.
But what's going on with that? He must be gone.
No, he's on the team. He's on the Raiders. He wants to be traded. Nobody's going to try and pick him up. That's why everyone thought they were going to try and trade Duggar from Myers. I was like, if you do that, it's fucking ridiculous. I mean, you're going to trade him to the team we're playing week 1, number 1, where you fucking Bill Belichick, Lawyer Malloy? I don't think so. And then number 2, Kyle Duggar is paid less than Jacoby Myers, I'm pretty sure, and impacts the game more if you play him correctly. I don't. For me, I'm not over it. I still think Kyle Duggar is the best safety on the team. I don't know where he's fallen so desperately. Tom Curran's all over him too. He stinks. I don't want him on the team. He doesn't stink. He's the best safety on the team, maybe besides.
Talk
Peppers.
About another guy who should walk in front of a bus.
Guy, I've had it with him too. He's sometimes like even keeled, but like when things are going bad, he fucking likes to fucking dive into it. And he's just another guy bringing, well, if Belichick had a pick in the last 20 years, if you notice, Bill Belichick doesn't have a player on the team from 1997 anymore. We got it. We fucking got it. The bad man's gone. I don't have to hear about how many draft picks he doesn't have on the team anymore.
I just think these guys are so useless. Like, they act like the media is responsible for, like, growing the game or I don't even know what they think their job is.
McKenzie,
like,
man.
Like, a bigger part to the game. Like, they're not doing any reporting anymore. That's gone. There's no, like, journalism that comes out where it's like, oh, I did this long story on this coach for blah, blah, blah over a year. Like, that doesn't happen anymore.
You used to have to find stuff out. And now every player has Twitter and just be like, I don't even want to play for this team anymore. They have their phone and they're mad for a second and then they'll just tweet it. And then some guy will have to. You know what sports media is now? Sports media is looking at players' Instagrams to see if they deleted pictures, if they still follow the team.
That's it.
That's literally like day one sports media training now. Oh, Javon Baker unfollowed the Patriots. What does it all mean?
The other thing they do that makes, like, this is really why they should either just find a new job or just they end it all. Yeah.
Close it down.
They love to, like, they'll just go, like, can confirm this guy got cut after
officially official.
We don't need you to confirm anything.
Albert Breer is the king of can confirm.
We got
what's trending this way.
Yeah. It's all set.
Yeah. What's trending this way all week? Fucking, you don't know. You fucking live in Sudbury, dickhead. How do you know what happened in Dallas? What's trending this way?
Not one of them could tell you how to wrong arm a pulling guard with any technique. Yeah, this is what they do for a living.
Yeah. I'll take 1,000 Teddy Bruschis in studio. But I'll tell you what, though. Ted Johnson might be my least favorite guy in media, and he's fucking an ex-player. He's just had it out for the team for so long. He holds a huge grudge against them because of concussions. He thinks that the Patriot, like Bill Belichick, like, was hitting him with a sledgehammer, and he wasn't just going head first into fucking Curtis Martin for 15 years.
Well, I don't know if you knew this, but he used to play a great Beethoven's Sixth Symphony before.
Bet. He played it on Patriots. His fucking forehead.
He was a real genius walking around that stupid fucking meathead.
Elephant Island fucking head. You kidding me? Easter Island, not Elephant Island. I'm the idiot. God damn it.
It worked.
Elephantitis head. I was thinking Elephantitis head and Elephant Island. But whatever. It's Easter Island head. That's either fucking that's right. Somebody make a fucking meme and send it to him of an Easter Island head. You know when they unbury them and they have like little bodies under the sand? But just put Easter Island head Ted Johnson on top. Send me that. I'll fucking tweet it to somebody. You'd annihilate me if we were ever in a physical altercation, to be perfectly clear, here on the podcast.
Oh, well, yeah, of course.
I, however, do not respect his sports analysis.
He can beat up the whole podcast at one, 3-on-1. He could do.
Yeah, for sure. But also, he was kind of shit for like the last 3 years of him being a Patriot, by the way. He was supplanted by fucking Teddy Bruschi, who was like 6 feet, maybe, and a former D tackle. And they were like, you are a better linebacker than this man who was built to be a linebacker.
I just never remember Ted Johnson being good. I just always remembered him.
He was a high pick in the mid 90s. And he was like classic traditional NFL linebacker, like 6'2", 6'3", 250, downhill only. That was his thing, like block the A and B gap and never let anybody go. Just lead with your head, don't think about it, fuck it, and try and kill somebody. He was good at that, and then the NFL got faster. And then, you know, it got to 2001, and Belichick moved Bruschi to linebacker, and Ted Johnson was basically like hurt all the time or playing like sparingly, basically behind Bruschi. And Roman Pfeiffer, another fucking aged veteran that they brought in. A guy that had gray hair, and they were like, yeah, you can play in front of Ted. But Ted was like, you know what I mean? He was like the backup good old linebacker that would be a good like thumper on first and second down. But whatever. That's why he's all mad at Bill because of fucking concussion. He says that, like, Bill made him feel like he had to play with concussions, which he probably did. He's old school. I thought my son gave me a concussion tonight. We were having a wrestle, and he doesn't know how to fucking play fight at all. And we were wrestling. He was jumping. First of all, on my bed, he jumps. This kid's 10. He jumped like up in the air and landed on my spine with both knees. I'm like, what the fuck? This isn't the game. And like, that's not how you play wrestling. Like, you gotta understand that this isn't the way it works. And then he gets over to like the side of me, and I grab like the nerve where you got like a Charlie horse like nerve, you know, like to like fucking squeeze it to like make him flinch and like tickle him and make him go crazy. His whole body, like, I don't know, he can't control it anymore. And like, he just whipped his entire body around when I did it, and his fucking back of his skull smashed me directly on the temple. And I'm like, that's it for me. I might not make it to tomorrow. I thought I was fucking going out. He hit me with 100% force of his fucking, the hardest part of his head, right on my temple.
It is funny when you like tickle a kid and then they freak out and hit you and then you get mad at them.
I do it every night. What are you doing? I try to connect with the boy in any way possible, and then it always ends in my anger. It's usually that way. I'm like, come on, this is something that I used to do when I was a kid. We'd wrestle and fuck around. He's got two sisters. He doesn't know how to play wrestle, so I try to do it with him. And he jumps on me fucking with both his knees, which is a psychotic move. I mean, I feel like that's bred into you. That's like bred into you as a human being. Like, if you're born, you're like, obviously don't jump double knee onto a fucking person's spine. If I was on the fucking floor with no give, I might be in the hospital right now.
I'll tell you right now, as a kid with two sisters, there was nothing more embarrassing than when you first like started hanging out with your friends and you started like wrestling and then you would pull their hair. Yeah. Your friend's hair, and they're like, what are you doing? It's like, hey, this is we don't do this? No. I thought we'd pulled hair.
This is fun for us. Fucking, yeah.
No, I thought this was part of the thing. I thought I'd pull your hair. No, you don't pull hair. Like,
go over the front of them and just start dripping your spit into their mouth, trying to do that. Girls do that? That was a classic in my house.
Pinch? You just pinch?
Yes. Pinch, scratch.
Yeah.
It happens a lot in my house. I don't love it. I don't think we have anything else to talk about other than fucking...
I don't think we had anything to talk about for the last 10 minutes. So.
Wow, we went long. Hour 15? Fucking guys. Whatever, it doesn't matter.
You did a deep dive on Ted Johnson's career at the end. I thought we were wrapping up.
Whenever he gets in, I get into Ted Johnson, I just get so mad. Ted Johnson, We did a little Chuck Knoblauch, you know, all the goods. Anyway, yeah. So
I had to step out for a quick domestic there.
You had to pop out for a domestic?
I had to pop out for a quick domestic.
It was on.
Wife was very upset about
it. She was missing the
wife
pod?
Wife was upset about Cole Strange.
I don't blame her. Do you hear that they cut Javon Baker? The husband was bullshit. They kept Kendrick Bourne for no reason. Fucking fist through the fucking drywall. This podcast is lunacy. We got a man on the beat and then two guys sitting in their fucking basement. It is a good time. God damn it. I love it. Anyway.
We find our stride during the season.
This is where I think I do some of our best work. Right here when we got nothing going on. I just start fucking yapping.
I mean, did you guys... No predictions yet for week one. I missed the whole, I was dealing with the nonsense.
No.
That was a joke. I thought you were kidding. We'll do predictions next week. We'll do some over-unders. We'll do some...
We're going to do some good gambling.
Win totals. And we'll do...
Something else, probably.
Yeah, maybe we'll put it on the line.
Either we'll learn the safeties' names.
Yeah. And then we'll guess, like... How many new racist terms KP will say this year?
He is in Africa, so yeah. He'll come back with a few.
That'll be a fun game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. Follow the podcast in the usual places.
We are going
places.
To week one, right, Tony?
You fucking better believe it, babe. We got to get all the good handouts week one. It'll be good stuff.
How's the grill situation going? We got to get that thing cleaned. We had not our best year grill-wise last year.
Oh, remember we lost the fucking propane at the end of the season last year. That was tough for me. That was a really bad look. The fucking man had to open up he had to get he took the nozzle off for me.
That guy was an animal, though.
He was. He was like Frankenstein. That guy fucking literally, his arms were torque wrenches. I don't know where he came from. He's the only guy in the parking lot that could do it. They're like, he's got the strongest arms of all time. He does jars all the time for me. He'll open this jar, that jar. And then he fucking pulled this rusted propane tank. I don't know. It's made me feel like a real girl. But it doesn't matter. Follow us all the usual places. Typical. Brady Disciple, Malcolm Go Podcast, Malcolm Go Pod on Twitter. Get on the Patreon. Patreon.com/MalcolmGoPodcast. I didn't get a chance to do the video last week because it didn't come out great. I'm going to definitely do this tomorrow on YouTube, on Patreon, and the audio is going to be up tonight. Discord.com/MalcolmGoPodcast. I send out the links on Twitter. Blah, 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 blah. If I could listen to it, don't listen to it. I don't care. We're still going to get paid $4 a month. All right. God bless. Go Pats.
Do your job! Alright, don't try to make too much out of it! Just do your job! 7-8 months ago, right? All from this moment! It's about honor! It's about respect! We win this game, your honor! Your kids are honored! Your family's honored!
Stack receivers, two to the right. Russell Wilson extends the hands he has. Wilson, quick throw. And it's intercepted! Intercepted by Malcolm Butler! Butler has it at the one! Malcolm Butler! Stepping
up! Warner goes back to throw, and here's the blitz by Mike Vrabel. The back is snap ball down, kick up, kick is on the way, and it is good!
It's good! It's good! Adam Vinatieri booms a 48-yard field goal, and the game is over, and the Patriots are Super Bowl champions! The Patriots are Super Bowl champions! The best team in the
league! Hey! Did it!
I love you, man.
Did it, bro. I love you. I love you. You work for us, so.
You're the greatest quarterback in the world, man.
Hey, I love you, man.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.